Hola y bienvenido a Planeta Stella. I am your host, Veronica Vilsky, and this is the first of two interviews with Matthew Sellier of Cape Town, South Africa. Matthew's currently studying in Buenos Aires, Argentina, the first of six cities in which he will attend Stella schools to learn and improve his Spanish abilities. Matthew, welcome, and thank you for taking the time to talk with me during your Spanish program.
Thank you very much for having me.
No problem. Had you learned any Spanish before studying in Argentina?
I would say yes, but it was in a 3-month thing that I did when I went to Canada for school, for a school
Mm-hmm.
exchange, but I learned about two phrases, so I seem to say no before now.
Okay. What were the two phrases? No.
Yo estoy triste, yo estoy feliz.
Oh, those are good ones to know. Yeah. Who or what inspired you to choose Spanish as a language to learn?
Well, when I was looking at finishing my school last year, I have three older brothers, and two of them had done gap years. One had done 6 months with Isela about 6 years ago, and the other had done a year in China. And so so I had to look at whether or not I wanted to go to China or to go to South America. And I looked at it and I thought, I've been to China, I didn't really enjoy it that much, and I'd never been to South America. So my inspiration was actually sort of my brother, because his Spanish when he came back was very, very good, and it's still pretty, pretty good after 6 years of not being in a Spanish-speaking country.
Nice.
It was really, yeah, that was really what kind of spurred me on to come here.
Yeah. And then after getting to know South America a little bit, are you glad that you made that choice?
Oh, absolutely. 100% glad, because it's completely different for me to China. Everyone is very friendly, very nice, always helpful. What you need, what's going on, it doesn't matter who you talk to, someone on the street, they'll always help you, which is what I really like about here.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Do you plan to use Spanish in your future career?
Right now, I don't know what my future career will be. So I would move towards yes if I was going into the business world, because you need another language to be able to communicate if you want to be able to work internationally. And I also feel even if I don't end up using it in a career, it's just a nice thing to have to be able to communicate with others that don't necessarily speak English.
Definitely.
Yeah.
What was your biggest challenge about doing the Spanish immersion program?
For me, learning Spanish, because I am not very good with languages. English in school I was good at, but we did another language called Afrikaans, and I was not very good at it at all. I struggled a lot to do it, so I was very nervous to come here and try and push myself to learn Spanish. And in the past month that I've been here, after the first month, I feel like it's progressed a lot. Still struggle to speak with people and understand people speaking just in normal situations, because the accent is very thick. Whereas in class, it's they pronounce everything and they speak slowly and clearly. So when speaking with people on the street, it's still a bit of a struggle. But it's definitely gotten easier, and I can now at least order stuff in restaurants, or if I need to go to get something from the shop, I can order or ask directions. So for now, I'm coping, actually.
Good, and still improving, I'm sure.
Yes.
So it seems like you and your family are passionate about gap years. Can you explain for those listening who might not be familiar with that term?
Well, it's kind of an ironic term for me in terms of a gap year, because when you say a gap year, everyone thinks, oh, it's a gap in your studies where you don't do anything. You just pretty much just mess about for a year. And to me, that's not what it should be about. And you can go and do that. And if that's what you want to go do, that's perfectly natural and perfectly normal. But to me, the gap shouldn't be the pronounced part. It should be the part about going and learning something different. So you're not taking a year out of your life to just not do anything. You want to progress. And so no matter what you do, you'll progress. If that's learning a language or volunteering or even just going to stooge in a school, which many people do in South Africa. You go to England and stooge in a school, which actually can help you just to get some independence from everyone, because most people will be used to living with their family. And so being by yourself out of your comfort zone is what I think a gap year is actually about.
Good. So what are the details of your gap year?
The details are I'm spending 10 months here in South America, 9 months with Isela learning Spanish, and then 1 month of traveling to wherever I want to go. So I spend 1 month in Buenos Aires, 2 months in Mendoza, 1 month in Santiago, 1 month in Cusco, 2 months in Cusco, 1 month in Lima, and 2 months in Viña del Mar. And then after those, I will be taking a month to go travel and look about in South.
Yeah, that'll be awesome.
I'm very excited for that.
I feel like you're going to have like way too many ideas of where to go on your last month.
I know, it's going to be a tough choice to make, I have to say.
Yeah. What are your grammar and conversation classes like at Isela?
Grammar is very structured, and it's, for me, very difficult because it's very much just you sit and write in the book. And there's speaking that is done, which is good, so you learn to pronounce the words in grammar. But it's still very nice because it's still small classes where each student gets a lot of attention. And for conversation, it's really, really nice because you're able just to speak and learn how to speak and how people actually speak and pronounce words and how they would say the sentences. So it actually feels more like just sitting in a room and just talking with friends and getting to learn the language with someone correcting you when you go wrong in your conversation.
Nice.
Yeah.
So what have some of your topics of conversation been?
In conversation class, we've done a lot of past tense stuff recently about talking about what it was like when I was a child, what I was doing when I was a child, what was my favorite toy, and very basic stuff to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
Another topic has actually been, because there's been recently a lot of holidays in Buenos Aires, where they decided, our teacher decided to explain to us what the holidays were for.
And you've experienced a holiday in Buenos Aires, right?
Yes.
And how did you celebrate?
I did many free things and a lot of just walking around and being so shocked, because generally it's just so busy in Buenos Aires. But as soon as a long weekend comes or a holiday, it goes dead silent and no one is around. So it's an interesting experience to walk around and be like, a few days ago, I would have been struggling to walk along the street because it's people, but now there's no one. So I can just walk freely and just look around. So it's a very interesting and different experience to what the normal life is like here.
Yeah, that was the opposite of what I would expect.
Yeah, I think a lot of people end up either just not working and saying I'm staying at home, or they'll travel to see their family in different parts of Argentina.
Welcome back to our interview with Matthew. We got cut off by some internet issues before, but we are continuing on with his interview. So, Matthew, what area of Spanish is the most challenging for you to fully use and understand while you speak?
For me, it's actually por and para, because it's a very difficult section to understand how to use it and when to use it, because there's different situations. And so within English, there's three words for each situation, but por and para, they're two words for all situations. And so it's very difficult to kind of understand and to use correctly in the situations.
Mm-hmm. How do your professors help you use them correctly?
It's basically by just practicing and practicing. So they'll keep asking you questions where you have to use por or para, or they'll make you do assignments where you have to use por and para. And not everyone finds the same things difficult, so you have to actually ask your professors what you struggle with to help you with that, and they'll assign you what you need to do to improve in those areas.
Good. What types of people are in your Spanish classes?
It's quite a varying range. For me, originally I had a lady that's she had recently retired and she'd always wanted to learn Spanish, so she decided to come to Argentina and learn Spanish. Whereas there's other people like myself who are just taking a year off and learning Spanish, or there's just people that basically fed up with life and wherever they're living, or just not very much into their job anymore, so they decided to move over here and they think they need to learn Spanish to survive over here.
Mm-hmm.
So it's that's the majority of them are people that are just interested in the language and really want to be out of their comfort zone and change their life.
Has it taken you long at the different schools to make friends?
No, not at all, because everyone is in a similar situation where no one is actually with their friends, or very few people have traveled here with their friends. So most everyone's in the same situation of, I'm new, I don't know anyone, so I've got to kind of make friends. And so everyone is very nice and just wants to talk and learn about each other and just practice their Spanish. So pretty much in the first day in both schools I've been to, I made friends and I go have lunch with them every day and chats, and it's very, very nice and awesome and easy, very easygoing people.
Good. What type of person might be a bad fit for attending an Acela school?
I don't think there really is a person that couldn't fit in an Acela school, but I'd probably say a person that would find it difficult is someone that is very shy and doesn't really feel comfortable with leaving their own country and completely going to a different place.
Mm-hmm.
And so people that are shy should take that into account, but it'll also, if you are shy and you want to come here, it's still a good thing, because it'll force you to not be shy and to talk to people, which I really think means that even though it's a difficult situation, doesn't mean that you can't come here with that type of mentality.
That's true. What is a typical weekday like for you in your program after classes are done for the day?
After classes, depending on what classes you get. So most of the time you have morning classes. So once I've finished morning classes, it's about 1 o'clock. So wait for my friends to come down and we chat and say, okay, who wants to go have lunch? And we decide where to go have lunch. And then afterwards, we'll chat, have a bit to eat, and then we kind of disperse into either smaller groups or just completely go about our own day and see where it takes us. So for me, I generally will go after school, after lunch, and have a walk in the park close by, or just walk around the streets and kind of just soak up the atmosphere of the city. And usually I have a plan of what I want to do. So depending on the day, I'll go to the park or I'll go and see other places, or if I need to go buy stuff, I go buy things. And then after that, it's just kind of come home, unwind, and do the homework and the assignment set for the next day. And depending on the night, maybe go see a few mates for dinner.
Mm-hmm. So since you've been walking around a lot, how do you feel about the safety in both of the cities in Argentina that you have been?
In Buenos Aires, where I was living, you had to kind of know where to go. Because in Buenos Aires, there were a few areas that were unsavory and a bit dangerous. So you just have to ask the school whereabouts those are and where you shouldn't go. But in terms of where the school was in a good area. I never felt unsafe walking to school every morning in Buenos Aires.
Mm-hmm.
But in Mendoza, it takes me 30 minutes in the morning. From 8:30, I start walking, and it's absolutely fine. And I've walked home at night at 11 o'clock at night, and I felt completely safe. So in terms of the area that my house is, or where I'm staying is situated, And where the school is, it's very safe in Mendoza. There, I have not heard of a single person that has a problem. The only thing you have to be careful with is, of course, you just can't take your phone out and just be showing everyone that you have this certain type of phone or show everyone how much money you have. You have to kind of be wary of the people around you, but you shouldn't be... I have certainly not felt unsafe in any way here.
So you mentioned your home where you're staying. Can you tell us a little bit about your accommodations?
My accommodation in Buenos Aires was a shared apartment with three other people, and I luckily got my own room. I don't think all apartments have their own rooms, but the one that I was staying in Buenos Aires, it had two rooms in the on the bottom floor and one room on the top floor. And the top floor was for the girls, and the bottom floor was for the boys. And it was very nice because having the students around you was very easy. So every morning you got up and everyone got together and said, "We're walking to school now." And it was a very nice experience also for me because I've never had that experience of living with other people that aren't part of my family. So that was a completely different experience, but a brilliant experience. And then in Mendoza, where I am living, is actually, it's a homestay. I booked a shared apartment, but it ended up being a homestay, which I'm actually very grateful it was. It is a homestay because I'm living with a very nice lady. She's late 20s, early 30s, and she's very easygoing. Speaks very good English and Spanish, so every day I can come home and practice the Spanish that I've learnt in the day and chat with her. And my room's not particularly big, but I've got a bed, I've got a cupboard, and I've got an ensuite bathroom, so there's nothing more I really need. And I've got full range of the kitchen, which is really great, and it's in a very safe, good area that I'm very happy with the situation that I'm in right now.
Good. So do you do a lot of cooking then there?
Sort of. every night I cook dinner for myself, but it generally lunch I'll just go pick up a snack. So a sandwich or something, or there's a very nice barbecue place which I can go get some chicken, which is very nice. But generally dinner I'll cook, but otherwise not really. And then breakfast depends on the day. I have cereal, or if I'm feeling very adventurous, I'll have some eggs during the day.
Don't want to get too crazy though.
No, don't want to go too over the top.
You mentioned to me that in Buenos Aires you had a memorable experience in Cementerio de Recoleta, which is the Recoleta Cemetery. Can you tell more about that?
This is probably the most interesting and best experience for me I've ever had, because when I was going, I actually went by myself because everyone had either gone or had other plans that day. So I decided I'd go by myself. So I stuck in headphones and walked about 20 minutes to the cemetery. And it was a very interesting experience for me because I walked around it and it was just very calm and there was a lot of people, but no one really spoke, and you just kind of could walk around, and there were so many people that were buried there, and it was just very eye-opening because it was a very small portion of the population. It was only the people that could afford it. It's in a very expensive cemetery, and even though it was such an exclusive cemetery with people like Evita Perón being buried there, it was just the sheer number of people shocked me, because it makes you kind of think that there's so many people buried here and these are only the recognized people, that you kind of get a reality check that you're just one in quite a small mass of people. But it kind of also gives you a good perspective and makes you think that you've got to use the time wisely that you have here. It's a very cliche thing to say, but that's what it kind of did for me, and was the most probably eye-opening experience I've had here in terms of finding out a bit more about myself and a bit of self-discovery. It was to me a very incredible and humbling experience.
Yeah, that would be kind of sobering, especially since the attitude usually is pretty, you know, relaxed and playful. So,
yeah.
Did you experience the nightlife either in Buenos Aires or here in Mendoza?
I experienced the nightlife in Buenos Aires, and I've not really experienced it here, but in Buenos Aires, if you want a big party, Buenos Aires is the place to go. Every night, there's a lot of, every night you can go party, which I don't recommend because it is extremely expensive, but a lot of fun. And actually, there's things that you can go to. So something I went to was called Mundolingo, and it's a very relaxed place where people from all over the world go, and it's there so you can practice your language. So you basically get stickers that you put on your shirt to rank what language you speak. So if you speak only English, you put only an English flag or something to that, or an American flag or something like that. And if you speak a bit of Spanish, like I did, I put an Argentinian flag. And what that does is it lets people know that they can come speak to you in Spanish, and it helps you to practice your Spanish in a different environment, in a social environment where it's not as structured as school, and it's actually the practical use of it, not just sitting in a classroom and repeating after what is said, and very much a structured program, which is very good. But it helps you to speak the language a lot better and a lot more with local people. But what I but yeah, and the nightlife in Buenos Aires is crazy, and it's a lot of fun. But it's certainly not a cheap experience to go and party there, but very, very fun and enjoyable. And if you're looking for something like that, I'd recommend Buenos Aires to do that. Mm-hmm. But Mendoza is a lot more relaxed of an environment. Not as big place for a party, but still, I prefer it here myself.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm not that big of a party person in terms of going to clubs and stuff, but you can sit down and have a nice wine and chat with friends, and it's a very interesting experience and just a very nice and relaxed environment here.
In the club where you practiced the area where you practiced your Spanish, did mostly local people come up to talk to you in Spanish, or did you talk to people from all over the world?
From all over the world, actually. There was a few people from Dominican Republic, quite a few from Chile and Peru. I guess mostly Argentinian people that I spoke to in Spanish. My Spanish was not as strong as the other people I was with, but I very much tried to just as much as possible speak. And then the people that were there could also speak English, which helped a lot. So I'd speak Spanish and then say something in English, and they'd say, oh, it's said in this in Spanish. So it was a very helpful experience. And after that, I kind of felt a lot more confident to speak to people in Spanish, because at that point I wasn't very confident in speaking with people, as I thought my Spanish was not good enough. But it's really just about putting out there and being wrong, but people will help you out and correct you. And that's what I found was really great about the club sort of an environment that I went to.
Yeah, I was going to say, I give you a lot of credit for putting yourself out there and just talking to random people. So how is the Argentinian culture in Buenos Aires and Mendoza different than your hometown?
For me, it is actually very similar. Because I come from South Africa, it's a very similar environment. The one thing that I would say is the difference is the fact that Argentina is about 20 years in the future of South Africa. That's my kind of view on it. It's a very relaxed environment, which is very similar to South Africa. And so it's quite similar. And the history of the two countries are relatively similar, both colonies, and had lots of terrible things happen in terms of government and things of that nature. The one big difference I probably would say is the fact that people here are more willing to speak to you in a different language. So I find in South Africa, not that people are unfriendly and won't speak to you, but if you were to, say, be learning one of the African languages like Afrikaans or Xhosa or Zulu, people are less inclined to talk to you in those languages and more inclined just to speak English with you if they can tell that you don't know the language. Not because they're unfriendly or anything, they find it easier. Whereas here, with speaking in Spanish, people are very willing to speak with me in Spanish. Even though most people here can speak very good English, they're very willing to help me and to speak with me in Spanish. And when I say, what is this, or how do I say this, they always are very happy to correct you and help you in any way they possibly can and ask for directions in Spanish. And they'll help you. It's a very great place for something like that, I think, to be learning the language.
Good. Do you have a funny or memorable story to share from your program so far?
The one of the funniest stories that I guess I had, and it was when we had gone to a place called Buenos Aires, Nacional de Buenos Aires. It's Belle Artes. I cannot remember that, unfortunately, now. It was the big art gallery in Buenos Aires, and it was a very, very hot day, and we had walked for about an hour and a half to get there. It was pretty warm, and so we walked around and finished, and we decided St. Patrick's. It was on St. Patrick's Day. We decided we were going to go find a pub to have a beer. But as we were walking, we saw an ice cream shop. Now, we had a very mixed group, everyone from Isela, but there was a German guy in my group, and his name was Martin, and he decided to say, let's all get an ice cream. And from that was born his nickname, the Ice Cream German, because very unlike a stereotypical German, he was not very excited to get a beer, but he was excited to get ice cream. And so our Brazilian friend decided that it was a good idea that his nickname should from now on be Ice Cream German. And so his name was, from that day on, Ice Cream German with the students at Isela.
That's great.
It's brilliant.
In closing, is there anything else that you'd like to share with our listeners?
Right now, I actually have a YouTube channel called Marimu72. It's Marimu_72, and it's literally just me explaining to you guys what is happening with me in South America and showing you all the amazing places that I'm traveling to and the different places that I'm traveling to. I also have a series of videos where I explain what I think a gap year is and how I think a gap year can better your life and how you can go about finding your effectively perfect gap year. And I very much rate highly the course I'm doing right now. I think it is an amazing experience and completely takes most people out of their comfort zone. So it's what I talk about in those videos, and it's a great thing if you guys could just go over and have a look at that.
Excellent. And I will put a link to that down below so people can just click on that and find it.
Thanks very much.
Yeah. Muchísimas gracias, Matthew, and I look forward to speaking with you again in a handful of months to see how your Spanish has improved and how your whole program has changed you. So nos vemos.
Gracias.